Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining me. This is Sasha of SashaTalks.com. As always, the content presented of Sasha Talks does adhere to the disclaimers of the services and the website. This evening is special because I had this guest back in May 2012, and much time has passed that she, I'll give her a brief introduction because a lot of people out there know her globally as Lady Catherine of Lady Catherine Live. She herself is a host, and she'll tell us more about her new shows. At the same time, a lot of you also know her from bitwine.com. You can look her up at Lady Catherine. She also does her own private readings where you could reach her at CatherineLady0@gmail.com. I crossed paths with her professionally back in, I would say, 2008. And I am in awe that she and I still have the pleasure of crossing paths today. So I welcome Lady Catherine.
Thank you, Sasha. It really is a pleasure to be here. And I have to tell you, I can't believe it's been so many years. It really has. And as you were spouting off or reading the introduction, it just all came flooding back to me. And the growth in you and what you've done in your own career is phenomenal. I commend you. I take my hat off to you for that. And thank you for having me here tonight, really.
Oh, it's a pleasure. But you've helped so many people out there, men and women, and one of your niche topics is love. So you've heard every love story out there, I'm sure.
I think so. If there's another one out there, please bring it on. I don't know. I've been around for so long that I think I have pretty much heard about every love story that you can possibly tell. But we're talking about the universe. There's always surprises.
True. Do you believe that every love story has a unique ending?
I believe that every love story has an ending. And if it's not the ending, if it's not the end, then it's not the ending. So I don't know if that answers your question or not, but each and every one of them is unique.
Okay. So one of the main topics that we will be talking about is twin flames. And I know you were the one who introduced me to the idea of twin flames years ago. Mm-hmm. And how you and I crossed paths recently, you were mentioning how sometimes there are twin flames that are a catalyst and being mm-hmm. able to identify the real one. So by mm-hmm. taking a step back, how would you define a twin flame?
Oh, it's so difficult. It truly, truly is, because we meet someone for the first time, we feel like we've known them forever. That is a symptom of a twin flame, but not necessarily your twin flame. And honestly, today, so many of us are seeking that overrated twin flame experience. We meet, we fall in love, and we automatically ascertain that this person meets his or her twin flame criteria. And it's only until later, when the mask of any new relationship falls off, that we find ourselves in codependent or even abusive relationships. With all relationships, what matters is how it's making you feel inside and how it changes you. One thing about a twin flame, it does not arrive with karma. And this is vital to understanding the difference. You know, sure, we have the twin flame runner where most of them run, and most of them will run. They really will. And we have to understand the dynamics of what that relationship is, what it brings to the table, why we meet a twin flame. And sometimes it doesn't even have anything to do with romantic love, because the theory about a twin flame is that we are created at the beginning of time as one soul. And these souls split into halves. There's a male part and a female part. And sometimes we meet each other in different incarnations as we're learning our lessons, or it's soul lessons, and we're learning what unconditional love truly is. And so when we meet, we recognize each other instantly as at a soul level. And after meeting your twin, let me back up just a little bit, because you opened up such a broad topic, so feel free to stop me anytime. You know, what happens is, is when you actually meet a twin, and because we are so internet-based today, for example, I'm in Italy speaking with you now in the United States. So we're so internet-based, more and more twin flames are actually meeting. And when we do meet, we awaken spiritually and we go, wow, what is this? What is this? But the only reason we really meet is to learn to love unconditionally. And that in itself is a process. It's not something that can be comprehended with any normal intelligence. It reaches far beyond any kind of regular love, and it simply comes over you. It is strengthened and guided by the universe. You have no choice. You will have to deal with it. So matter how tempting it may sound at times, do not fight it. Receive the intense love, embrace it with 1,000 arms, and then, you know, decide prior, you know, and then realize that you decided this prior to incarnating here. I know that you're supposed to build something together and have faith in that promise of union. And remember that you're dealing with the most intense, highest achievable kind of love that only few of us are allowed to experience. Just remember that you are allowed to accept that twin flame as a tool of love, and only the ego can make you believe that you are not one. And the ego of the mind is a tool. There is then the runner dynamic, which, Sasha, I am sure you're very familiar with the runner.
Yes. I had a question about all of the twin flames out there who are running and they're tuning in. At what point do you feel that they would stop running? Or is that just their part of the role in that relationship?
From what I have seen and from what I believe in my studies, I really believe that only the divine knows. Because only the divine knows. And also what I've learned is that we can't run from our higher self forever. We just can't do it. We can run for a short time. We may meet our twin flame and we're in another relationship. We may meet our twin flame and we're in another country. There may be all types of reasons that we can't be together yet. But at some point, you're going to come together and you're going to complete your mission, whatever that is. And it may not have anything to do with romance. Absolutely not.
See, that's the thing. A lot of the women that I cross paths with, they always feel that the idea of twin flames and soulmates has to be sexual, romantic, meeting of the hearts. And the thing is, I know, and you know, with soulmates, we also have soul families. And with twin flames, I wouldn't be shocked if they have twin flames of the same gender or same-sex relationships, because it's so fluid that you're dealing with the idea of the soul, not just the literal physical body.
That is so true, and that's a very good point. And I have, I don't know about you, but in my work, I've met plenty that are in the same bodies, or, you know, male-male, female-female. And this is why many people will fall in love who are completely heterosexual and fall in love with the male or female out of nowhere, because it is a twin flame union, plain and simple. And no, these people are not even what I would label as bisexual, and I don't like giving labels to anyone, Sasha. You know that.
Right. It's interesting you mentioned that, because once I had a client question whether I lead for certain types of relationships, and I said, everybody's different when they read, but when I look at energy, it wouldn't matter to me what one's orientation is or where they're from, because you're reading about the human condition, the energy, and that's how you address the questions. So here's a twin flame question. What happens if you're fortunate enough to meet your twin flame and the person is running, or let's just say those two are together, but one passes on? Does the universe put in another substitute in your life on Earth, or does it just mean that your twin flame experience has ceased?
There are so many theories on it. I don't know how to answer that other than to say that if this is a true twin flame, then that other part of you, the other part of your soul, will actually stay with you in the etherneal while you're living on this earth. And no, that does not mean that you cannot love again. And no, that does not mean that God's not going to put another love into your life. It's just, that is not what it means. Just because you've lost your twin flame does not mean that you can't love again, because once again, it is not about romance. Once again, I just want to continue to reiterate that it is not about romance. It has nothing to do with romance. It has everything to do with a purpose that we are placed here to complete for the divine. And we don't know what that is until we're probably finished with it. We learn it as we go along with our twin flame. And when we are in union with a twin flame, it's very different, because you can communicate with your twin flame telepathically. He or she knows what the other one is thinking. And pretty soon you learn together what your mission is.
Which brings me to ask you if you know any extreme example of a twin flame case that you worked on.
Extreme.
As, you know, it could be someone who waited 30 years to reunite with the twin flame that ran off. Or someone who much later in life, after being married, having children, and maybe they're a widow or they broke off and then finally met a twin flame.
I do have one client who is presently in Switzerland. She and her twin flame met when they were in their 20s. She just turned 53, and they met up again. They both went through marriages simultaneously, but in separate countries. They have the same amount of, they've lived identical, almost identical lives in two separate countries. They met up again a year ago, both widowed, and they are marrying this summer. So yes, I have seen that.
Oh, wow.
It's quite a story. It really is one of those, oh, no. But yeah, yes. And they are, I have no doubts that they are twin flames, because of the synchronizations and how they lived almost simultaneously lives, how they were separated many years ago, the same amount of children, married the same year, and both of their spouses, that they were widowed in the same year. It's just a phenomenal story. Absolutely phenomenal.
What advice would you have for women who always wonder how, when they're in the initial stages of understanding who their twin flame is, or is her actions or his actions normal, or do they adhere to the twin flame standard? Usually they come with the expectation that if I waited out for a couple months, the problem will be solved, but you and I both know reality is much different.
Oh, that's so true. My advice would be not to seek to label any person we meet early on as a twin flame. Never. Don't do that to yourselves. Do not have expectations, because it truly requires a deep understanding and actual experience in the metaphysical when it comes to the properties of this very unique connection. It really does. And when we label it too early, we can find ourselves in a very unhealthy, codependent relationship, because it makes it more difficult to step away. You think, okay, I've already labeled this as a twin flame, or I've gone to a metaphysical advisor, and he or she has said, this is my twin flame, so therefore, this person must be my twin flame. And you can literally find yourself in a very unhealthy, codependent, painful relationship for many years. Love does not hurt. Rejection hurts on the deepest level, but love does not hurt. So if you're being rejected, that's not your twin flame. He or she is just not your twin flame. Now, if they are rejecting for a different reason, per se, you met and they had addictions to drugs or alcohol, or in a relationship or married, or whatever the case may be, and that's already going on in their lives, take a strong look at that. Ascertain. Find out, is this really my twin flame? But still step away for your own safety, your own health. Don't go into an unhealthy relationship for any reason. Twin flame, no twin flame. And when that twin flame has gone through that experience of a marriage, of a relationship, of drugs, of alcohol, whatever the case may be, and you are meant to be together, you will be, irregardless, because the divine has already said so. But we can't. I can't speak for God. Can you, Sasha?
No, that is the one thing that I always tell people, that I'm human first, leader second, because there are times where, I'm sure you've seen it too, where clients come, they're very, not demanding, but pushy in a sense, as they expect you to give them answers that adhere to the fantasy in their mind. And sometimes I've had people where they want me to give them answers that adhere to their quote unquote God. And where I have to tell them, I'm not God. Only you can come up with the truth within you and live with it. But I can't tell you, if I had a nickel for every time I've told someone he or she is not their twin flame, and I've gotten all types of feedback. It's true. A lot of times people like to self-diagnose their love lives. It's a little bit different when you go out and chat with your girlfriends and overanalyze things, and probably a little bit different when you go talk to a metaphysical advisor. But then when you're sitting there alone at night, you want an answer. You're tempted to fill in that blank. And that's the society that we live in, that we want labels for everything and everyone. But in God's eyes, there are just some things that even I can't find a label for.
No, my own life. My own life too. And we just can't. And it is glamorous. It is glamorized across the televisions, the movies, that one soulmate, that one true soulmate. Oh, that if only that true one soulmate really existed in the way it's portrayed, it would be a beautiful world. But it's not that way. Even in a union, and I live in a twin flame union, even within that union, there are still problems. We are still humans. We're souls in these human bodies, but we're still humans, and they still come with all kinds of human problems and difficulties. So there's no such thing as the glamorous twin flame relationship as much as we all want it. In theory, it doesn't exist in the way that Hollywood portrays it. Or even as you were, you know, saying, Sasha, we go out with our girlfriends and we really want that. It just doesn't exist. I wish it did, but it doesn't.
So I have a side question. Is your partner mesmerized by the fact that you're a metaphysical spiritual advisor?
No. In fact, the first day we met, I was kind of shaky about telling him because I didn't know what his reaction would be. And he said, okay, well, now my life finally makes sense. He could remember three past lives that he had had. He was also a psychic reader, although he doesn't work in the field. He's a police officer, a federal police officer here in Italy. But he didn't work in the field, but he is a psychic reader. And so he wasn't shocked by it at all. But yes, I was shaking on that one. I really was. I didn't know what his reaction would be. But it's working in the metaphysics, it is something that we don't like to broadcast. If you understand where I'm going.
I agree with you. I don't broadcast it because then people start thinking as, for some reason, they always think that we have our radar on. And I have to tell them that we're not just walking around reading things and people around us. Or else, I don't think it would last the whole day, because think of all of the energy and thoughts that go through our brains. But that's not how it works. I said, I look into a situation or a matter when I, either in my own life, when my gut tells me to. And if I'm doing it in a professional session, that's when my attention will go there. I'm not just laying there soaking everything up, because I don't think it would be healthy for any human being to do that.
No. I try to close off everyone around me. If I am in any type of situation family, friends, unless someone asks me to enter their inner energy field, I just try and close that off. And if anyone asks me what I do for a living, I just tell them the truth. I tell them what I was educated to do and leave it at that. You know, I don't say I'm a psychic reader. My Lady Catherine, to you, the internet, to the radio, and to my private practice. And some of my friends know who I am, and long-term clients, they know my first name. But other than that, and the other thing, too, is when you say to a psychic reader or to an individual, I'm a psychic reader, they start thinking about all the con artists and the scams out there, too. So it's right. Just better.
They just imagine the extreme Hollywood version of things, of how they look, how they sound.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So have you ever received a strong reaction by somebody who couldn't handle the fact of what you did?
Not so much as a psychic reader, but when I was a minister in the Christian church, I had stronger reactions than I've ever had as a psychic reader, and I find that interesting.
I find that interesting because I know among different religious faiths, including mine, that people will not broadcast that they're intrigued by psychic readings, but they always go on the down low to get mm-hmm. a psychic reading.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
I think it's all about what society thinks in a facade. I don't think it's a bad thing, but don't make it appear scandalous.
No, we have too much of that in our industry. Way too much. So it isn't something that... Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, coming back to love, what advice would you have, since we crossed paths 3 years ago and you were giving advice out to ladies on the VBS Global platform, any new or recent advice you would like to share with women out there, women and men, because men also hurt at times.
I would say,
how about dating advice, dating online? Because there are a lot of people who date online and they don't always necessarily take the proper steps in terms of safety and applying common sense, that they just are so yearning for love, they'll take anybody.
Isn't that interesting? My co-host and I did an hour show on that 3 weeks ago. I do not have my notes in front of me, but I studied this at length. If anybody online can appear to be perfect for you on paper, absolutely perfect for you on paper, take your time, get to know them. That's the main advice that I can give to anybody out there who's dating online. And two, if the person on paper is not on your list or your ideal list, but yet you have some type of connection to them per se, get to know them a little bit. Be careful. That's a very, for me, dating online is not something I've ever done. I don't know. It's difficult because trying to see if I have my notes on that, Sasha. Thanks. I wish I had not ahead of this.
Oh, no, it's okay. It's okay, because often I talk about it here and there in different segments or topics that I cover, mm-hmm. that I always tell people, apply common sense first, mm-hmm. and safety comes, you know, just as equivalent before you decide to run off at your fantasies. Because I've had clients where I've read for them. An example would be a lady, I think this was maybe 3-4 years ago, she was very vested in this online relationship with a guy. My gut immediately told me that the picture that she saw of that guy was far from how he really looked. And she really felt bad for him, that she wanted him to cross borders and go to Canada. Uh-huh. And she was ready to let him into her home and everything. And she kept on saying, I feel bad for him. And I could tell that the guy was a con artist playing off her emotions. And mm-hmm. I told, for some reason, in that given situation, I told her it's not going to come through. I just keep on being shown him being blocked off. And it just happened to be someone who was running away from his own mess, that he wasn't allowed to even cross the borders.
And this, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, sometimes I feel really bad for people, but I tell them there's a difference between being alone and being lonely. And in her case, she was really lonely, mm-hmm. that she was opening up herself up to anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that gets back to being very careful. And about the pictures as well, one thing I didn't know that my co-host said was 2 or 3 weeks ago when we did the show on online dating, was the pictures today, you really can't hide behind them, because he said that you can actually Google the pictures. I don't know how you do it per se. I forgot even to ask him how to do that. He said you can put the pictures in the window somehow and see if it's really them. Is that possible? Do you know?
Yes. I don't know specifically because I don't work with it, but I know that there are third-party sites where if you're going to be working as a professional, or so they usually run a background check on pictures to make sure that you haven't taken a picture of somebody else and you're passing it on as.
Yeah, I found that interesting. I had forgotten all about that until just now. But he said that you could actually put it into the window somehow and pull it up on Google. I am not sure how you do that. But yeah. So right. Be careful. Be very careful. But then also don't rule out somebody who's completely legit in their pictures, in their profile, but you may not like something about them, and yet you have a connection to them.
Yeah, that's the tricky thing about love, that you don't know in what form it will come.
No, you don't, and you can't. You can't close yourself off from it just because somebody doesn't meet your list of A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Well, I like everything except G. So I'm not going to give G, this person, a chance because of G. And that may be the person that's perfect for you in terms of a relationship. Maybe this person did something in his or her past years ago. Learned from it and moved on from it.
True. Everybody has a past. Everybody has a past. And as long as they grow from it, that's what matters. Mm-hmm. I did a segment on emotional relationships, and I did touch upon the idea of online dating because there are some clients that I cross paths with, and they are so emotionally in love, and they react so realistically as they're dating the person face to face. And it's a little bit scary because they've never met the person, meaning they've been dating for a year, but I have not met him. And then the lady has all of these emotions and she's functioning as she's in a real relationship. Mm-hmm. What do you have to say about people who choose not to meet their partner, but they've labeled one another and they're dating out there?
Well, I can't judge that because when I met my twin flame, who is now my husband, we met online accidentally. It was a computer glitch. I mean, it really was a computer glitch. We still today do not know how it happened. It just happened. And we met within 2 months. We were in a relationship and we were labeled. And then within 8 months, I was in Italy. And a year and a half later, we're married. So I cannot say to anybody out there that that's not possible because it happened in my life. I was completely labeled after 2 months. I was in a relationship.
I have met a lot of people, but not through normal means. So there's no one way of meeting people, especially with technology and everything out there.
I mean, I knew the moment we opened up Skype, and I knew right then. I knew. So, I'm not the person to say no to that ever. Never, ever, because I'm living proof of it.
What is the best dating advice that you've received?
The best dating advice that I have received is, number one, don't ever lose yourself in the dating experience. And, you know, having expectations in our culture is expected. I mean, it's expected that we have expectations. We were brought up that way. However, when the expectation is unfulfilled, we complain, we moan, we become disappointed. I think as far as dating advice out there is, number one, to be true to yourself. Number two, make a list and adhere to it to a certain degree. And don't settle for somebody just because you're lonely and you think this person may or may not change, or just because this person is someone to spend time with, but yet you're not being fulfilled. And don't fulfill someone else's expectations so much that you forget about yourself. I think self-love is number one, is the key to dating and having a satisfying relationship on any level.
I think that's the number one thing I noticed when I started working on love and relationships, that so many people lack healthy self-esteem, that the lack of self-esteem dictates the choices that they make, that they want great things in life, but for some reason they're frozen in their path, that they won't go about taking the action to acquire it.
Absolutely. I see it time and time again. And if you're given too much of yourself and you're not receiving anything in return, please get out of the relationship or communicate that you're not receiving anything and see what this person does or how this person reacts. And if you're dating someone, if you are a female or male, and if you're dating someone and you've been out for a couple of times, don't automatically label it as you're in a relationship. That's not fair to yourself or to the other person.
A lot of women get mad when they're dating and then they say, I expected him to call me his girlfriend by now. And I tell them that every situation is different. If you don't speak up what your expectations are during dating, then you're not going to get something just by talking to your girlfriends about it. You have to talk to your partner.
Yes, you do. Don't be afraid to speak with him. Don't chase him. That's the last thing. If you're a female and you're listening in, the worst thing you can do to a male is call him 10 times a day right after you've met him, or send him 20 texts, or 10 texts, or 3 texts.
I want to crack up with that, because for the first time I met you, I remember you were telling me how you give guidance to all of the females. Don't do everything for him. Don't call him. Don't do this. Don't do that. Because the woman wants to do everything for him.
He does. My co-host and I had the show last day. We had this show last week. 1 hour on how the male brain works. How he perceives information. How he can He does. His brain is a compartment. Is a compartment. It really is. Whereas ladies, our brains are all over the place. We're very emotional. And so he's put in his compartment. I liked her. I had a nice time. But he hasn't called me. Well, let me call him, because if I call him, he's going to think, oh, she liked me, and he's going to return my call right away. No, he's going to say, what is this? I'm at work right now. I may be out with the guys right now. Yes, I had a nice time. He wants to provide and protect. Number two, he wants to be in the what if. He needs to be in the what if. And if you give him he has you, he doesn't want you. Not right off the bat. Let him ask. I wish I had an hour to spend on this with you. I don't know if Sasha, if any of that's making sense with you, but
it does.
That's just the
it
way
does.
He is. That's his makeup.
He hasn't won her over, and she already gave herself up.
Yes. So you didn't create in him the need to work for you. You didn't create in him the need for anything. Where's the fun in that for a man? He wants to provide. He wants to protect. He wants to help. He's a problem solver. He needs for you to ask for his help. He wants to be the chaser. He was born that way. And I'm sorry if that sounds chauvinistic, but it's just the reality of who he is.
That's just biology.
Yes.
Well, go on.
No, and if you're a very wise female and you come to understand how his brain works, you can chase him without him even knowing you're chasing him.
I have an example of a client, and I told her not to do this, but she has her free will. She had labeled herself a girlfriend of this guy that she was, I would say, was more friends with benefits, but the guy didn't know that she went around telling people that she's his girlfriend. That she would plan every day. She would go ahead and plan his breakfast, lunch, and dinner, because she would travel from work, and she would lay it out as a diet plan. And then he didn't even know that she had moved in secretly by moving in a large luggage. and all of her stuff in his master closet. And he would think that, oh, okay, she just slept over and now she's going home. But when she would leave for work, she would take out the suitcase, go about her day getting ready and going to work. And I told her, it's only going to be a matter of time. You're going to land in trouble. And I forewarned her that you don't want the cops throwing you out of his house when he doesn't know that you've been going around doing these things. And then that one day came where she called him on the cell phone, and I had already warned her because I felt it was coming that when she would call him, some other woman would pick up the phone. So she wrote back to me saying that you were right. Another woman did pick up the phone. And I said, this is the time where you have to sort your relationship out from your, you know, reconcile your fantasy with the reality, because he's going to find out, which he did. Yes. And I don't know what happened to her, but I told her it's not healthy to tell a guy what to eat, when to eat it, and do all of that. I mean, it's really loving, but I know that I, as a female, would be a little bit creeped out.
Yes, yes. He already has a mother. He has a mother. He doesn't need two mothers. You know, and the five things that I'm now, just to break it down. Number one, as a woman, you want to ask him just a simple question. I could use your help. I could use your help with my coat. Would you mind picking up my bag? You know, just a little things when you first meet, just those little things. Those are the little things that are going to grab his attention. He already knows that you're self-reliant. He already knows that you can protect yourself. But to make him feel a little bit important, just those little things. And number two, you want him to know that when you're with him, you feel safe. How do you do that? It's just body language. For example, you're walking down the street. You kind of move him to the outside of the sidewalk without him realizing it. But subconsciously, he's going to feel, she needs me to protect her. Number three, you want to give him rejection protection, which you challenge him to choose you. How do you do that? You keep him in the maybe. You allow him to text you. You stay busy with your girlfriends. You don't send him out desperation energy, thinking and picking up that phone every 2 minutes. Well, has he called me? Has he texted me? Oh, he hasn't called me. He hasn't texted me. He's not interested. No, he's busy. You just met. Number four, speak his language. He's a problem solver. Remember that. You need his help. Little things. Does that help, Sasha?
Yes.
I found some of my notes from last week.
How often do men come to you regarding their heartbreak? Because I know that my audience comprises of men and women, but the women are more vocal if they're going to call into a show. And it happens to be one where I'm taking calls.
Okay. Men, they come in and they're not like the female, my heart is broken. They want the facts and they want the facts now. Lady Catherine, she broke up with me and I want to know why. And I want to know how to get her back. They want A, B, C, D, E. Boom. Not like a female where they'll give you the whole rundown. So with a male, their hearts are just as broken. They're in just as much pain. I had a soldier from Afghanistan. No, he was in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia 2 years ago. He called me from the desert out in Saudi Arabia. Heartbroken. Now try to get a Navy guy to talk to you about a heartbreak. It took a while. He was calling me every week and he was speaking to me for an hour at a time. Their hearts break just like the females out there. You just approach them in a different way. That's it. And then they meet the females too that know how to chase by provide and protect. And then they say, why isn't she texting? Well, because she's a smart girl. Because she's a smart girl. That's how you grab him. But yeah, their hearts break. They just react differently. When their hearts are breaking, they may throw themselves into work. They may hit the bars and go drinking. It's a different type of heartbreak than a female experiences. But it's still a heartbreak.
Right. I know when females come to me and they're dating, they have a monkey mind. So they want to talk about 3-4 different guys, hypothetically. But to date, I am yet to get a guy who will ask me about more than two women at once. And if he asks me about the second woman, it's probably because he's divorced or he's in transition of a relationship. But I'm yet to meet a guy who has a monkey mind and he wants to know about everybody. Because with men, I notice that they're really, they are emotional, but they're very businesslike in terms of they want the facts. As we
they do. They want A, B, C, D, and E. That's it.
Right. That's they don't want to sit there and, you know, fantasize about stuff. They just tell you, they just shoot the question and they want to know.
Mm-hmm. And they want to know, and that's it. And, you know, as a reader, it's important that we understand that when they come to us. And then after a while, they will open up to us. But it takes time. It really takes time for that male to really feel comfortable enough in sharing that heartache. They're very close, very, you know, their little minds are compartments. But I was finding something too. We're very quickly just back to twin flames.
Sure.
You know, if indeed it is your twin flame, then the unconditional, because you'd asked a question about them returning together, reconciling at some point. And I have found this, if indeed it is your twin, then your unconditional love for them will help them. Will help you let them go. I won't say that it will be easy, but you will survive and you will be your strongest for it. True love never returns void. Later, both twins will face a choice to either remain in pain or to return to each other to face the deep love. Everyone, even your twin, wants to be fully loved and known for their self, and no one can run away from themselves forever. In the meantime, live your life from a place of acceptance, surrender, and unconditional love, and you will get there. And someday, you will return to finish your mission, no matter how long it takes, or no matter how many years you are apart. You will come back together to complete your mission. And I believe that with all my heart.
I know you've taught me a lot about twin flames. So there's always something new coming from you.
Because it's, I had a catalyst and now I have a twin. So yeah, I've learned a lot along the way. It's, and I have a lot of clients who have gone through it, as in you, but we won't go there.
I will always keep you entertained. I will work on that. But,
I'm talking about the twin flame experience and all of that.
Oh, yes. I thought the twin flame experience had a beginning and an end, like a short-term thing when I initially met you, but then I realized, oh, no, this is going to play out and play out. Now, you have to live your own life.
Yeah.
You have to live your own life.
You do. And you have to trust and you have to love yourself through it and you have to be ready for love. Just because you've met your twin and your twin's not ready, don't stop loving. Find somebody to be with. Soulmates are so much easier than twins. Even people that are not your soulmates or in your soulmate family, they're so much easier than twins. They really are. You know that.
I agree with you. I've had all types of experiences, and with soulmates, you're not. Soulmates are more receptive. The thing about in a twin flame relationship is that there's going to be one person who's ready to love. But if you're naturally a human being who loves to love people and they're pushing it back, it gets frustrating that you need other outlets to be yourself. Because if somebody denies you love or denies your love, how do you go about walking that path? And it's pretty challenging that you have to find a better way of living with that. Or going around it.
Yes, and it goes back to self-love. It really does. And grieving the relationship. I believe, you know, that grieving the relationship is very important. Take the time, grieve the relationship, and move on.
So here's a question, and maybe you've told me this, but I can't recall. What if you're in a twin flame relationship, you cut the cords? Just because you cut the cords doesn't mean that the twin flame that you cut the cords from could come back later in time, or are they
That is so interesting. That is so interesting. I always believe that if we cut the cords. Now, obviously, we're not God, and when I say cut the cords, we're cutting the cords that is actually connecting you on the earth plane so that you're not feeling the energy of that twin. And it allows you to move about freely so that it's easier to find new love or to find a new life or to grieve the process. Because, I mean, some people can be stuck in these relationships for many years, not able to move forward with it. And there have I've seen successful cord cutting. I have. Well, this is so funny because I've worked with this one relationship for about 6 years and she has not met anyone. She was completely attached to her twin. She would try to get away. It was just one of those that different place. Anyways, so we cut the cord and in August of this past year, so August 2015, October, she walked outside at 3 a.m. because she heard something strange on her front porch. And there he was asleep on her front porch. She had not seen him in 7 months. And he was asleep on a sleeping bag. And he said, "I'm ready to come home." They are engaged to be married. He has not left. They've worked the relationship out. And all of the habits that were keeping him from her, as an alcohol, he has put aside. He went into treatment. They are, it's amazing what's happened in their relationship from the cord cutting. Now, I don't know how that worked in her favor other than they maybe were not draining off of each other. He missed her so badly in that one moment or in that time that he went home. So it's interesting that you asked that.
It got me thinking. Now that you read for all types of souls, some are really easy to read for. And then there's some people that just love to play, you know, they just test people or those that are really stubborn. I was a little bit curious when they come for love and relationship readings and you're reading for a stubborn soul and people keep on complaining that I'll never find love and never will this happen. They're just complaining. How do you go about telling them that they're the part of the problem and they need to change in order to attract that love?
When I was, my daughter is a very young reader, and so that's a good question for you too, because you're both young ladies in my eyes, because I'm a grandma. I've reached an age where I'm not afraid to say it like it is anymore. So when I have one of those clients that come to me, I don't say you're part of the problem. I say, I always say, I'm at the stage now where I will say, please hear me out. I have many years of experience. And honey, until you change your behavior and learn to love yourself, you're not going to find love. Because you are doing nothing but sending out that yucky energy that you're sending out to me right now. And honestly, it's not very attractive and it's not attracting anyone else. Now, this is how you change it if you really want to be loved. You have to learn to love yourself. I had a client like that last week. She spent an hour with me and she's coming back tomorrow night for another hour session. Just honest, just flat out honest. Don't beat around the bush. Say it like it is, but say it in love.
I agree.
Say it in complete and total love. And if they are not ready to hear it, you can't change them. But you did send the message of truth.
I think how I phrased my question was exactly how it was given to me from a client who questioned me that. But of course, when you're working with a live client, we have to communicate with them in the language that they understand, or at least we believe that the message will come through. And I tell them that typically they want to know, when will I get married? When will I find love? And if I find and sense a stronger hurdle in their path where they need to get out of their own path, I typically explain to them that certain events have to happen in order for you to get ready for your in order for you to reach your goal. So right now, the question shouldn't be when. It should be, how can I prepare myself for love?
Absolutely.
With some people, you could do the when part. With others, it's more about how, because now and then, I mean, our job is to relay the message unfiltered in an appropriate and respectful manner. But at times, there are messages that I pass on that completely don't make sense, but it's my job to pass it on. And then there are times where messages are not favorable, but I have to pass it on because some people like to live in a fantasy world, and then they're waiting for some unknown person for 5, 10 years, and they never let life begin.
That's very true. That's very true. And that brings me back to, we have to teach them pretty much, even though we are psychic readers, to live in today. And that's vital. That is absolutely vital, to live in today. And when we begin to live in the moment of today and the hope of tomorrow, then all amazing doors open up.
That's one message I remember that you always preach to your audience, that you have to live your life. Easier said than done, you know that.
But sooner or later, my goodness, is it. Boy, is it. When I start finding myself scattered until next week and next month, I say, no. No. Stick to the plan. But yeah, it's everybody's different, Sasha. Everybody's different. Every client's different. And every situation is different. But the message of love is the same. And we don't know what our guides are going to give us, but we are responsible in delivering it, and delivering it in love and in light. And that's all we can do. That's it.
I do agree with you. I do have one last question out of intrigue. While you do all of these love readings, have you ever talked a client out of not walking out on a relationship because deep down you thought that they were going to make a huge mistake if they walked out of that relationship?
Many times. Not that I talked them out of it, but if my guides were saying that is the wrong path, that is the wrong choice, that is the wrong person, that third party does not belong there, or no, because this person is going to change, I have to say it. And many times I've had the confirmation, Lady Catherine, you were correct. I stayed, and look at us today. And sometimes I don't even remember it. I had a client a couple of weeks ago from Australia who found me on another platform. And she says, you may not remember me, but you did a reading for me back in 2007. I ended up staying in the relationship, and we just gave birth to a granddaughter. And I just saw you online and wanted to come in and say thank you.
Oh, wow.
So, yes, that happens too. So, like I said, you know, each situation is different. And I do not believe, I teach against codependency. I teach against all of it. But sometimes it has a place.
Absolutely. I thought to ask you that question because now and then when I read for certain relationships, even though a partner is ready to walk out, and I keep on getting that, you can walk out, but I don't see the relationship being over, and I have to relay it to you, even though I know you're ready to run and run away from the past. I just relay it as it comes, and I leave it up to the hands of the clients, because at the end of the day, and I'm sure you can relate to this, the only thing that we can do is relay the message with an ethical, you know, in an ethical manner. And at the end of the day, we have to sleep well at night, that we have to be honest with other people.
Yes, we do. We have to
That's
be honest with
That's part of our job, or else we wouldn't be working.
No. That's very true. That's very true. I have to be able to sleep, and so therefore I have to be able to say truth.
As we come to a close, I want to remind everyone that you could find Lady Catherine at bitwine.com. Look up Lady Catherine. You will get an amazing reading. You'll have a great experience. Come with an open mind and heart, and not only will you learn a lot, but you will also get to experience her divine gift. And if you're trying to reach her directly, you could write to her at catherinelady0@gmail.com. CatherineLady, the number 0@gmail.com. And I want to thank Lady Catherine for enlightening us today. So much time has passed, but some things about you never change. And your voice is so endearing that it feels as you just keep on getting youthful and more youthful.
Aw, Thank you so much for having me. It's always, always a pleasure to speak with you, Sasha. You are very special to me. Thank you. God bless you.
And I want to thank everyone out there for joining us this evening. If you have any comments or feedback, go to sashatalks.com, click on the contact page, and I look forward to hearing from you. Be good, be safe, be blessed. God bless.